Lord, we're very thankful that we can come together as a whole church family and worship you together. And thank you for our time of communion, remembering your body and your blood shed for us. And thank you for the love that that represents. And you love us all. We praise you for that. We commit our scripture time to you today. And thank you that you are with us. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today we're continuing to teach today on Psalm 51. Last week we learned from verses 1 through 9, and so Pastor Doug and I had the great privilege of partnering together today to do verses 10 through 19, okay? So, a question for you as we begin. Have you ever done anything wrong and then tried to hide it? Anything wrong and then tried to hide it? I'll tell a story that the adults have heard, but the children haven't, and Pastor Doug will tell a story that the children have heard, but the adults haven't. So when I was about 8 or 10 years old, at my home, I had a large brick wall on the outside of the garage, so I would always throw a ball against that wall, like pretending to be a baseball player and all that stuff. So, well, one day I was throwing a golf ball against the wall, and there was a small window on the end of the garage, and the way I threw it, the ball went right through that window. And of course, it smashed it and left a hole in it, and so I ran into the garage, swept up the glass really quickly, and tried to hide it to remove all the evidence, at least that was on the ground, that I had done this. And so it was my mom and my sister and I who were coming out of the garage door, and my mom glanced over to the right and sees that there's a broken window. And then she automatically looks at me for an explanation. And in that moment, I had a choice. Tell mom what happened, tell the truth, or I could try to cover up. And I tried to cover it up. And so I looked at the window and I looked at my mom and says, it looks like a bird flew through the window. So I lied. Got a story, Doug?
I do. So I was about the same age as Blair when Blair had his ball incident. My parents made candles in the basement of our house, and they had a stove. They melt the wax and the crayons and make pretty candles. Well, I'm mischievous and a little artsy, and I saw this opportunity one day when mom and dad weren't home to go in the basement and melt the crayons and the wax on the floor in these intricate, cool designs. Well, I heard my mom come in. I heard the door open. She came in and she yelled, I'm home or whatever. And I'm like, oh no. And I'm scraping the cement off, all the wax, all the crayon off the basement floor really quick. But if you know anything about cement and wax, it seeps into the pores of the cement and you can't scrape off the color. So it got to be dinner time, and we had dinner, and then afterwards my dad said he's going to make candles tonight. And sure enough, he went downstairs, and sure enough, I went to my bedroom and hid under my bed because I knew what was coming.
So we had opportunities in those instances and many more to either come clean and tell the truth or to hide our sin. Now, Pastor Doug and I wish that we would have known then what we know now about the character of God and about the forgiveness that he offers. We don't have to go and hide under our bed about our sin. We don't have to lie about our sin because God stands ready to forgive us if we will just come to him openly and honestly about it. So we're studying Psalm 51. And Psalm 51 is written by a man named David. And David was a great king in Israel. He was the sort of the model of a human king in Israel. But David had a moment in his life, a time in his life when he was not so great. Pastor Doug, what are some of the sins that he committed? And
so we know that David, being the king he was, and he was looking out over his veranda at night, and he saw this beautiful woman, and he made that beautiful woman, who was the wife of Uriah, his girlfriend. And they had a baby because of the result of them being boyfriend and girlfriend. And David felt really bad about that, so he hid, he lied for a whole year, and he had Uriah, that woman's wife, husband killed, tried to cover it all up so that he wouldn't be found out.
Yes, this is all very serious sin. And so when David is confronted about this sin, he finally comes clean and confesses it. And then he writes Psalm 51. And so let's turn there. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 19. I'll read it for us. It is projected on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you today, so you can follow along. And so this is the second part. Early on in Psalm 51, David is asking for forgiveness of his sins. And then in verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar." Okay, so from this scripture, we learn what we should do when we sin. Instead of hiding it, what ought we to do? So let's learn it three responses. The first is to confess your sin to God. Come clean with it and confess it. As we go today, I'd like to define a few terms. So, Pastor Doug, I want you to remind us of what sin is. Pilar did a great job earlier.
She did a great job. So the kids all know this, right? All right, kids, what is sin? It's anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's heart. Where is the law?
Awesome. So we break God's law, we break God's heart. In this passage, earlier on, David uses four different words for sin. Transgression, sin, iniquity. And in verse 4, he says, "My sin was just plain evil." And so he's confessing and saying the same thing about his sin that God says about it. It's just sin. It's wrong. It misses the mark. And verse 5, we're reminded that we're all sinners. He says, "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Meaning the reason that we sin, the reason our hearts get dirty, is because there's darkness that lives in there right from the very beginning. We have inherited that from Adam and Eve, who are our first parents. All right, Pastor Doug, let's hear the story about the chocolate bar.
So I was a little bit younger than the last story we told. But my bedroom was across the hall from my parents' bedroom. My parents are still to this day kind of the type that you just don't break that threshold of their bedroom. Kids don't go in there. That's their space. And so I was walking down the hallway going to my bedroom, and I'm walking in my room, and I caught on the corner of my eye there on my mom's dresser was a candy bar. And I was like, yeah. And at first I was just like admiring it. And I crossed the threshold to get a closer look, to admire even better, and then pretty soon I was admiring it in my fingers, and pretty soon I opened the package and admired it with a little bite, just a little one, and then I ran to my room. Well, I got done in my room, and I came back out, and I admired it some more. And I went into my mom's room, and I took a bigger bite of that candy bar and admired it, the wonderful taste of chocolate. And I wrapped it back up, probably better than I just did, but I wrapped it back up and I let it sit there, and I went about my business, and pretty soon my mom comes to me with this candy bar, only she enhanced it by opening, you know, to see the whole bite gone out of it, and says, "What do you know about this?" And I said, "Do we have mice?" No, I know. I have four brothers, and I just went through the litany of all my brothers. I think Ken did it. No, Rick did it. I bet Greg did that. And pretty soon she just looked at me and said, "Uh-huh." Yeah, she knew.
Oh, man.
We're not very good liars.
Birds and mice. Birds and mice. Well, sin is anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law and break God's heart. But when we're Christians, God has given us the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings conviction upon us for our sin. And so in that moment, you were feeling pretty bad about your sin. You chose to pass blame off on other people, but it was sin. And so here's what the Holy Spirit does with conviction. Conviction is that the Holy Spirit helps us see our guilt for our sin. And the reason he does that is so that we'll be drawn back into a close relationship with God. And so the Holy Spirit, as believers, when we sin, he'll come along and say, hey, you shouldn't have done that. You need to confess that. But when we don't confess that sin, the Holy Spirit applies a little bit more pressure. And he'll say, you need to confess that sin. And then, if we don't confess then, the Holy Spirit's like, you need to confess that sin. And so that's the presence of the Spirit in our life. And that's what he says in verse 8. He says, make me joy here, joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Now, David's bones weren't actually broken. He felt so heavy because of his sin. The Spirit was trying to get him to confess it to restore his relationship with God. Pastor Doug, what are some other things we try to do to hide our sin?
Because of that weight of that, we get embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And we tend to do things like hide and lie and push the blame on others. But also, and this happens with adults, but it happens with kids too, is we go, I know, I'll do more Bible study. At least, I mean, it's a good activity, right? I'll just do more of it. Or some people say, I promise, I'll go to church every Sunday. You know, I'll just be a better person. And they go to church. But at the same time, it hasn't changed inside. It's still embarrassing. It's still evil. It's still an iniquity. It's still a problem. And so people try more things. And sometimes they're like, well, I'll give money to the poor. I'll serve. Maybe I'll serve. Maybe I'll serve at VBS. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll feel better then. But the problem is all those things, none of it changes. They're all good activities, but they don't take the evil and the iniquity and the embarrassment away.
Yeah, the sin is still the problem. So we have sin, the Spirit brings conviction, but the next point for us is to confess. And to confess our sin is just telling the truth about our sin, calling it what God calls it, and coming clean with our sin. Sin makes us dirty, but there's good news that God has dealt with our sin problem. And 1 John 2 tells us that. He says, my dear children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. An advocate is a friend who will defend us. And Jesus is capable of doing that because he's our Savior. The Bible continues and says, he himself is the propitiation or the covering for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So, Pastor Doug, from the Bible, how do I solve this problem? If this is condition of my heart, what do I do?
1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he, Jesus, he's faithful, he's just, and he's righteous, and he will forgive our sins, and he will cleanse us. Only Jesus will cleanse us from our sins and our unrighteousness.
There it goes. When we come and confess, he promises, the Word of God promises us that he'll cleanse us from our sin. When we confess, we just are honest about our sin to God. So that's the first response. Confess your sin to God. Secondly, ask for a purified heart and a restored friendship with God. When we sin and hide our sin, our heart can become like this rock, hard. And the longer we hide our sin, the harder our heart gets, and the more pressure the Holy Spirit has to put on us to come and confess it. But rather, we are to have a heart like this that's tender and soft and responsive to God. So David here takes a turn. It's beautiful. He first of all confesses his sin, and then he's asking God, don't just clear up my sin, now change me from the inside out. Replace the sin and deceit with purity and truth in the innermost being. That's what he says in verse 6. So he cries out, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit in me. The word to renew a steadfast spirit can also mean to repair. So restore me to the position I had in my heart with you before I got into all of this deceit. Verse 16, as Pastor Doug pointed out already, says, you don't delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. He's not saying that God doesn't want the sacrifices that were in the law. He's saying the sacrifices aren't meant to just sort of ignore in replacement and ignore the sin problem. You got to deal with the sin problem, and then the sacrifices are a delight because we have a pure heart. So purify my heart, God. Make my heart soft and tender and responsive to you. And then we also can ask for a restored friendship with God. That's what he says in verse 11. Do not cast me away from your presence, O God, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. What's David speaking about there? Well, in David's day, just before David was king, there was another king named Saul. And the Holy Spirit came upon King Saul. But over time, King Saul's heart became really hard towards God, and it resisted the Spirit of God. And the way the Holy Spirit operated in the Old Testament, he would come upon people and then he for a time, for a purpose, and then he would leave. And because Saul was so hardened in his heart towards God, that the Holy Spirit was taken from him, 1 Samuel 16:14. And so David, with his pure heart, he's saying, don't take your spirit from me like you took the spirit from Saul. I have committed adultery. I have lied. I have murdered, but I come clean. Don't take your spirit from me. And so that's what he's praying. Keep me in the service as a king. Now, the good news is, in the new covenant for Christians, we don't have to pray that prayer. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me, because the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a guaranteed deposit forever. Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said this to his disciples. He says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not know him or see him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. So the Spirit of God is with us forever, and he is in us, and he's always with us. And so what we do know from the New Testament, though, is that we can grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. So when we do sin against God willfully, we bring tears to the eyes of God, as it were. And so we ask for a restored friendship. Now, we have another illustration here that can help us show the relationship between us and God, but our fellowship can be broken because of sin.
So, if this magnet, if it represents Jesus or God, and this is us, there's a problem. If we sin, there's a barrier between us, and actually, there's a repelling action. It pushes us. And that push is a pressure for us to confess our sins, right? So if we turn away from sin and confess them, he will forgive us. And now we attract to each other. And we stick to each other.
Yeah, we have that full fellowship with God when we confess our sin and we seek him again. All right. So confess our sins and ask for a purified heart and a restored friendship. And then thirdly, celebrate God for his forgiveness. We see this in verses 13 through 15. But let me tell you this story. One time I was coming home from college, and it was early in the morning, late into the night, early in the morning. I drove from Indianapolis to my home in Ontario, and it was like a seven-hour trip. And I just wanted to get home. I mean, it was late. I wanted to get home. And so where I grew up was out in the country, much like, you know, just south of here. And so there's hardly ever any cops around, okay? So I'm speeding home. I just want to get home. And in my rearview mirror, I look and I see a set of headlights in the distance, way in the distance. I'm driving along. I look again, and those headlights are really close and really quickly. And then all of a sudden, the flashers went on. Oh, I was like, oh, man, I'm only like 2 miles from home. So I'm pulled over by a police officer. And the police officer says, why were you speeding? I said, I'm just getting home from college. I'm tired. My house is like 2 miles away. I just want to get home. And so the police officer gathers everything up, goes back to the car, does what they need to do, comes back, hands everything back to me and says, all right, I'm just going to give you a warning this time. Watch your speed and get home safely. So I went home to bed. But I can guarantee you the next morning, I told my mom and dad about the goodness of that police officer and the mercy that he had on me, because I was guilty of breaking the speed limit. But I said, now that officer was so kind and so merciful in that moment. So I spoke praise of the police officer. And that's exactly what David does. If you glance in your Bibles at verse 13, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation, sustain me with a willing spirit, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Verse 14, my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. Verse 15, that my mouth may declare your praise. David experienced the forgiveness of God and the restored fellowship with God. And then naturally, praise came out of his mouth because of that. And he said, I will teach others your ways. I'll tell them about the goodness and the forgiveness that you had on me. Pastor Doug, where are some places that we can tell other people about the goodness of God?
Well, if you're a kid at school, I mean, it's easy to tell our friends at school. And if we're adults, it's the same thing. Our friends want to hear that weight has been lifted, mm-hmm. that pressure, that purity is back, the joyfulness of our salvation has returned. It's a great thing to tell others about.
Yeah, awesome. And then what we see in King David is this, in verses 18 and 19, we see evidence that his heart truly went from being hard to being soft again, because now, once again, he's concerned about the nation of Israel, and he's seeking God on its behalf. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. If you remember, back in 2 Samuel 11, it says this is the time of year that the kings go off to war, but David did not go off to war. So he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. But now, after he's sinned, after he's confessed, his heart is now returned to the point of doing what God wants him to do. And that is to lead the nation of Israel and to seek the good of Israel from the Lord. So a sign that our hearts have truly come back to the Lord is that we begin to care about the things that God cares about again. And that becomes our first concern. All right, so today we have seen that because of Jesus Christ, we have very much to be very thankful for. And he invites us to come and confess our sin. We don't need to hide under the bed. We don't need to lie about it. We just come clean, and God will indeed forgive us and to cleanse us again. We can have that close relationship, close friendship and fellowship with God once again. Now, Pastor Doug's going to point us to 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7 as we close.
So, In verse 6, it says that if we have fellowship with Jesus, but we don't confess our sin, it's like living in the dark. So this paper, it just says sin. And this is what we like to do. This is the embarrassment. We hide it. We want to bury it. Sin doesn't like light. This candle represents Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. And when we confess our sin, take it out of the darkness and confess our sin, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just. He forgives us. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin.
Awesome. So God invites us back to him, to come and confess our sin. And through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, we have that forgiveness. And then in the ongoing fellowship with God, when we confess that sin to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us of that sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and the sin is gone. So today we've learned, in response to our sin, confess it And then ask God to give us a purified heart and a close relationship or a close friendship with Him again. And then we celebrate God for His forgiveness. Mm-hmm. We're going to end with a time of prayer and encourage you as a family. If you're here with your family, you can huddle up and maybe one of you just lead in prayer and giving thanks to God. But if you need to receive Jesus as your Savior, maybe you've never put your trust in Him. All of these illustrations are to illustrate this, what the scriptures say, that when we put our trust in Christ, our sins can be erased, and we can have that relationship with Him. And so you can call out to Him, say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I'm sorry for my sin. I turn from it, and I ask you to be my Savior, and I commit my life to you by faith. And God will do it. We can take Him up on His word. But we can also gather together for prayer, maybe for personal confession of sin, or maybe as a family. You can and just give thanks to God for the forgiveness that He offers. Let's pray together, and in just a moment, I will pray. Almighty God, we thank You for the prayers being offered right now, and You hear all prayers. We praise You for that. And what a blessed day to remember from Scripture Your promises. And no matter what sin we have had, will have, in Christ, all of our sins are gone as a gift of Your grace. This does not point to us at all, but it points to You and how kind You are and how forgiving You are and how loving You are, that You would not count our sins against us because of Your Son, Jesus. And so because that's true, Lord, please create in us clean hearts that want to walk after Your ways and want to please You in the daily moments of life. We thank You for the chance today to study Your scripture as an entire church family. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.